And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
This is the Athletic Baseball Show on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Swings here and he drives one deep into center. Puig is racing back, still going back. He looks up. It's gone! Over the center field wall for Hunter Pence. Pence will touch them all and score them all. A grand slam for Hunter Pence.
It's not easy when it's tough. That's when you find out what you're made of.
You get so much Brisby in your ears if you want it. If you want Brisby, oh gosh, you get it.
Anybody want coffee? I'm making coffee. Anybody want?
Yes! Yes! Yes!
I'm a frequent coffee drinker. I'm part of the club. I have a card.
You're listening to The Baseball Barista with Hunter Pence and Grant Brisby on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode number 5 of the Baseball Barista. I am Grant Brisby. I'm here with Hunter Pence, and we're going to talk about some baseball. How you doing, Hunter?
Outstanding. Great to be here, Grant. And what a week of baseball we have had.
Look, we're about 15% the way through the season, which is hard to believe. Feels like it just started, but it catches up with you. You know, we're 15% of the way through the baseball season. But it's been a fun baseball season. And maybe it's because fans are back. Maybe we were ready for a good baseball season. But I feel like I'm enjoying, just turning on, a random, White Sox, Tigers game or something like that. Like, I'm just enjoying flipping on a random baseball game more than ever this year.
They're very entertaining. There's no shortage of things to talk about. There's no shortage of funny comments from players and of great things happening and of wild things happening. There's so many storylines and there's so many teams fluctuating. And I've been so wrong about so many, my thoughts at the beginning of the season. Like, for one, at first I thought the A's, they had this great spring. Then they come out 0-6, and then they win 13 games in a row. Anyway, just like all sorts of madness. It's been 15%, and we're just touching the iceberg.
Now, the team that's surprising me, there's a lot of surprising games. You got the Red Sox, you have the Brewers. I think we knew were going to be pretty darn good, but they're performing at a level even above and beyond what I might have expected. The Giants are surprising. The Royals, to me, are I was not seeing that fast start coming. And again, it's early, and we've seen these fast starts. I think the Mariners had one in 2019, and then they come back down to earth. But the Royals, just to start the season, they look like a team that, A, they spent the offseason trying to make their team better, which isn't a given these days. But B, they seem like a team that's got solid pitching throughout. They have a lot of homegrown pitchers. They have a nice core of starting pitchers.
They have a couple of young guys that are starting to kind of develop, and then they brought in some really good veterans. The Santana and Salvador Perez has just been incredible, and Whit Merrifield he's a baseball player. You want to watch a guy who does everything right, and he's tiny. He's really small when you meet him, and man, he's got big pop, and he's just so smart. They're really smart baseball people, whoever's running it over there, but they also have some young bullpen arms that are filthy.
Today's episode's going to be focused quite a bit on pitching, and I think that's the theme with all these teams off to a fast start, and that's not surprising. The teams that pitch well are the teams that are winning. I mean, that's sort of the point of baseball, but at the same time, it seems like pitching today is different. You can have guys like DeGrom and Walker Buehler who are, it's not like there have never been great pitchers in baseball. I mean, every generation, every season has great pitchers. But it seems like the pitchers today, when they excel, they're doing it in this just dominant, you can't touch them way unless you're hitting a home run off them. I mean, it's hard to hit these guys.
Yeah, I think that the biomechanics and the science of the human body has reached a level and a mastery where pitchers these days are throwing so hard and they're able to manipulate so many things, spin rates, you know, different ball going in different angles. It's just the velocities and the power and maximizing the body is at an all-time high, where hitters as like a battle to that have to like literally do so much research and try to match the plane, and it's like a guessing game because they're throwing so hard you don't have time. So you're really guessing as a hitter because they've really done a great job with the craft of pitching. And we are watching some absolute phenomenal pitchers today.
The spin rate we know, the velocity we know has been ticking up. What's getting me are these pitchers who are able to command this stuff. Because when you look at the top of the leaderboard, when you look at strikeout to walk ratio, you have Jacob DeGrom has struck out 50 and he's walked 3. That's freaky. That should be like an all-time outlier, except Gerrit Cole has the exact same stats. He's struck out 50. He's walked 3. And then you have Corbin Burnes. I mean, he got touched up a little bit in his start on Monday against the Marlins. He's struck out 49 without walking anybody. He's on pace to set a record that was set by a reliever. I mean, it's the command too, right?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying is like all of the biomechanics, the science of the body. I mean, I haven't been studying pitching, but I just know that the mechanics have really, there is like a formula. And the fact that they're not walking anyone, because a lot of these pitchers are throwing ball to strikes to get these strikeouts, it just tells me that their stuff is filthy and like you can't lay off of it. So watching that Burnes guy is pretty impressive right now. And he throws so much stuff that's like, that just looks like a strike for a long time and is just disappearing. And then when you have 98 and he can throw it for a strike whenever he wants it, you have to respect it.
You're a hitter. You're a professional hitter. You're an all-star hitter. Is hitting harder than pitching? Like, is there a ceiling for hitting? Like, if guys are throwing 100 miles per hour on the corners, like, is there only so much you can do about that? I mean, is there, at some point, do pitchers have the ultimate advantage?
Well, I mean, it's all relative. Like, yes, like, mathematically speaking, the pitcher is supposed to win more than the hitter. But at the same time, you're evaluated on that average, right? So you're evaluated on how often you are supposed to fail versus how often you are supposed to succeed. So in essence, yes, it's more difficult to hit. But in essence, also, maybe it's more easy to hit because you don't have to hit as often. You're not supposed to succeed as much. But it's the age-old just be the best you can at what you're supposed to do. So if that makes any sense to you, like, it's definitely extremely hard to hit some of these pitchers. And when you're facing a Jacob DeGrom, you know you're going to have to cheat and you're going to have to, like, you know, a lot of times swing for where the baseball isn't. And you're going to have to do a crazy amount of homework, which I'm sure DeGrom has done his homework. But, like, he can miss. He's just built his body and he's just so talented and he's just mastered his craft so much that it's so explosive that even when he does miss, it's going to be extremely tough for you to succeed off of it.
I used to think that at some point the pitchers were going to be the ones that had the glass ceiling because there's only so much velocity you can get out of a human body. No matter how much you bulk up, no matter how much you stretch, there is just a limit to the kinetic energy you can provide through that chain. You know, you can only throw, let's say, 105 miles per hour. Like, you're just capped. There's not going to be a human body that we know of that's going to be able to throw harder than that. And so I thought at some point the hitters are going to get bigger, stronger, smarter. They're going to have access to all the data. They're going to be in control at some point. I was not prepared for, you know, now we're talking about moving the mound back maybe, or maybe we're talking about lower on the mound. You know, we're going back to 1968. Pitchers just seem like they have a definite biomechanical advantage right now.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, how fun is it to watch perfect games? There's still not that many perfect games being thrown and no hitters. You know, like, these things, pitching is extremely fun to watch as well. So there's many ways to enjoy the game of baseball. It's not just home runs. Like, sometimes it can be exhausting to watch huge, like, blowouts and stuff going every which way. Sometimes it can be fun. Like, I think back to the Dodgers and Astros World Series where it was just, like, this crazy back and forth. But if you have that every night, you're going to go crazy. So, like, the balance and the flow, like, there's a mean, there's a harmony, and there's a top and a bottom of the wave, you know? And so you just got to enjoy each and every one of them. I think another thing that's actually really interesting to talk about right now, because of what happened in 2020 and the shortened season, because of how good pitchers are getting, because we're now doing 7-inning doubleheaders, when's the next 3,000 hits going to ever happen? Is it even going to happen? Like, are we going to see another 3,000 hitter in, like, the next 20, 30 years?
That's a good question, because right now it seems like when you are a prospect coming out of the minor leagues, you're not going to be focused on average. You're going to be focused on, you know, hitting the ball as hard as you can, doing the most damage that you can possibly can. And I don't know when that's going to change, but I do know that baseball is cyclical. Who's close to 3,000 right now? You've got Miguel Cabrera. He's at 2,870. He's got a chance.
Oh, he's going to get there. He's going to get there. So we will see, after Cabrera, will we see another with, I guess if he did it, someone can do it.
Yeah, well, you know, you've got Cano at 2,600. That he's already 38. That's going to be a tough slog. You have Yadier Molina after that, 2,022 hits. So the drop-off is steep. And if you're talking about an under 30, the most hits from someone under 30, well, you might have expected it. Mike Trout, he's got 1,406 hits. He's 29 years old. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. You know, Mike Trout might be the guy.
Trout's going to probably get there as well. So Miguel Cabrera and Mike Trout. That's actually super sad about Mike Trout's career, the whole missing half a season and missing these at-bats. But, you know, he's going to have to stay healthy for sure. It'll be exciting to watch.
Yeah, you know, if there is any consolation, it is that it's not unprecedented for the best hitters in the world to miss some time. You have Ted Williams missing 3 years because of the World War II. Willie Mays, I think, missed a year because of the Korean War. So there is precedence.
Okay. So we're definitely going to see 3,000 hits several more times.
Yeah, I think Mike Trout is just such an outlier, though. But you're right. It's just the focus is going to be on hitting the best balls you can, not necessarily getting the high batting averages, not spoiling those two-strike pitches. There's still a lot of all or nothing on the two-strike pitches, and that's because it helps teams win. Like, it's not like these teams just invented this and they're not sure what to do. They've determined, no, taking a yuckadoo swing on 0-2 gives you the best chance to win, so we're going to keep doing that. Baseball's cyclical, but for now, that's what baseball is.
There are also like role players and there is like a mechanism, but I mean, maybe the math and the data is just even your like leadoff hitter or your table setters, you know, but I do think that there's still some people that are out there that still have the philosophy. Let's get our guys in front of the bangers, like on base. And there's going to be another, you know, just great hitter that's going to, you know, do like the Derek Jeter thing and be a great defender. I think we'll still see some of those players, but maybe not. I don't know, because even, you know, like Fernando Tatis, man, this dude's just crushing the ball. And like Story, all the, even the shortstops are big home run power hitters now.
Yeah, you know, let's take an example. Nick Madrigal, right? So you have Nick Madrigal. It's the beginning of his major league career. He is something of a baseball unicorn where he does not strike out. Right now, he's taken 72 plate appearances. He struck out twice. You know, he's going to hit 300. He's going to have a little bit of pop, but you're not going to turn him. He's still waiting for his first major league home run. You're not going to turn him into Joey Gallo. You wouldn't want to. You know, he is just like a baseball unicorn. And I think there's always going to be guys like that who just show up and you don't want to change them because it works. Look at you. You're Tony Gwynn. You're Ichiro. It works. Go and do that.
Exactly. I think there's still going to be those Madrigals that'll show up and find a way to win in a different way than the math has exactly said. And like, people are going to love them and want to watch for that gift that they bring. So I'm glad I asked you about this, because we would have these talks in the clubhouse. We would be like, and I was actually on the board. I was like, someone's going to hit 3,000. But I remember when we looked up the numbers, maybe they were skewed. It looked like no one was going to get it. But I guess that was also in a dark time where we weren't sure if we were going to play and whatnot. But I'm excited to see if Mike Trout gets it. And I do think there will be more Madrigals and Ichiro, not exactly like them, but special players that come through that are going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, you know, when I first started writing about baseball, it was in this post-Moneyball era where you're knowing, okay, it's walks, it's home runs, and baseball's changing, and you're not, it's not in 1878 anymore, and you're not necessarily worried about punching it through the other side. And my contrarian take was that batting average is still cool, because what it's talking about are happy, it's like happy fun moments. A hit is a happy fun moment. It might not be the best kind of hit you can get. There are hits that can help your team win more than a single. But if you've got a guy who hits 333, a third of the time, he's given his fans a happy fun moment. And so batting average is just, it's not the greatest statistic. It's not the most predictive. It explains how you might be enjoying baseball.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, like, I definitely think batting average is the most overrated stat. But I will say that I still like honor it like, because I just grew up on batting average, and it's like the number one stat that we follow, we understand, we know as baseball players coming up in my era. And following the batting title is one of the coolest accomplishments and most fun things to follow during the season. The ERA title, the, you know, the wins, but I mean the batting average title and the home run title. I actually follow the batting average title more than the home run title of each year. Like, I remember who won the batting title. And I love that, like, you go to Milwaukee now, and instead of your average, they put your OPS on the board. And it's like, because the OPS to me just tells the story way better. Is it the perfect stat? Probably not. But OPS is the number that we should be following to really, like, know what a hitter's doing. But it also, like you said, it doesn't make sense as far as, like, a fan and the story of each at bat. You know, it's a weird concept. When are we going to have the OPS champion?
Right. I mean, yeah, you're not following that leaderboard the same way. When I'm writing, you know, there's all these advanced stats at my fingertips. At the same time, I generally use batting average, on-base percentage, slugging percentage. Because the batting average tells you how often you're successful. The on-base percentage says, well, how much of that is a product of the balls falling in? How much is a product of walks? And the slugging percentage is, you know, what kind of damage are you doing?
When I'm going over the college teams and when I'm going to interview like a coach or something, and I'm doing that whole thing, and I'm looking at like what hitters are doing their thing, I don't even look at their average. I go straight to slugging and on-base percentage. And then I also, I'll look at RBIs, because to me, I think, I know that like the math people don't give RBIs credit, but it's like you have to earn every RBI, because these pitchers do not want to give up runs. That's what they are paid on, is not giving up runs. So to knock in runs is to like beat the pitcher 100,000,000%. And it's so hard to like the guys that are driving in a ton of runs, they're helping you win games in major ways. I mean, that's what wins games. And I know that there's, you know, some hitters have more runners on or whatever, but I think that it's a product of like a mentality. It's being able to beat a pitcher at his best, because a lot of times when you're up to bat and no one's on, a pitcher's given, like, he's cruising, a starting pitcher. But as soon as someone gets on base, they lock in and you're going to have to face the filthiest stuff. So like the ones who are driving in runs are hitting in heated, high leverage moments, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know if I can look at a batter's runs batted in total for a season and say, oh, well, he's going to do that next year. Or, you know, this is predictive and this means he's this kind of player. But I can look at a batter's RBI total and say, oh, it was really fun to watch that player. Like, you know, that guy did his job that season. There's something that he did that helped his team win that season. So I do like RBIs as, again, like a happy fun stat. Like, it's, you know, something about the player.
I don't know, though. Like, if you watched Arenado over the last couple of years, man, this dude's driving in tons of runs. And, like, when runners get on base, he gives you a different at bat. You know, like, Carlos Lee, I played with him. This dude, as soon as a runner was on base, like, he literally had a philosophy. When no one was on, he was swinging for a home run. If someone was in scoring position, he just tried to flare one over the second baseman. That was it. Like, he's driving the run in. And, like, driving in those runs is an art. It is a thing. And there are a lot of hitters that have, there's going to be fluctuations of like, you know, whatever, but typically follow that with a lot of hitters. It's going to be very similar. I would like to look at, let's say even like Mike Trout, when he's healthy for a full season, what have his RBI totals been? I'm sure he's around 100. Pujols around 100, especially in his prime, Pujols was like 120. Getting 100 RBIs is one of the greatest achievements, like, in my opinion. That's a stat that I like. You have a 100 RBI season, you put in work, and you dominated that season.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
You know, one of the bigger sample sizes we can go on is Tony Gwynn. And with the bases empty, he hit .328. With men on, he hit .352 for his career. That's probably like the best example of a dude who just had hitting down to a science and was just a little bit different with men on base.
Yeah, hitting with men on base is definitely a thing. And people say that like it's the same all the time, but like emotions change the game 100% because we're human beings. We're not robots. And some people rise to like really tense situations, and some people they like either relax into it or like David Ortiz and like Jim Tomey. These are guys that were like super clutch, like Derek Jeter. It's like almost the ones who can stay in that state of grace versus like making it a big deal. From my studying, because I always studied clutch hitting, and like a lot of times when I was young, I would get too amped up. I would want to hit it so hard. I would get like fired up. I wanted it so bad. As I studied it, I learned that I had to like really calm down and like be almost softer and like light focus, like just trust, like don't change anything. So there is an art, and the emotions changes, and it's the same for like opening week, and like you get this high intensity energy and then you kind of level out, and that's why like it's weird, but you'll see different players have like these certain months where they go off, and like even like the playoffs, like the emotions change and the game is different because it's a whole different feeling.
Now let me play devil's advocate for a little bit. It seems like when you reach Major League Baseball and you're one of the 750 or some odd Major League, you're a Major League Baseball player. That's a little bit of a self-selecting pool, because if you wilt it under pressure, maybe you don't make the high school team. And if you made the high school team, maybe you're not D1. Maybe you can't make a D1 team. And if you make the D1 team, if you wilt even a little bit more under pressure, maybe you're not making maybe you're not drafted, you know, and so on until you are the best of the best. And maybe you kind of have an idea of how to operate under pressure.
I disagree, because like sometimes people are just super talented, and like you'll have certain players where, you know, they hit really well when things are going well, and then like all of a sudden the game gets on the line and like they don't necessarily get it done as much, you know, and then there's some hitters that are like just kind of average and like they're good players, but then when the game gets on the line, like Pablo is incredible. Like the bigger the circumstances, the better he gets. And like I remember even talking to Bumgarner, and Bumgarner would get super angry because like the better the other team was, the better he was. Cause like he was like trying to figure out why. And like the worse the other team was, like it was almost like he didn't give them as much credit, and like he didn't understand it, but like he would get rocked by like teams that weren't when we were at our peak, and like he was like trying to figure it out, but he got in the playoffs or the World Series, and he put up these just ridiculous numbers, and it was just kind of a part of who he was, is like rising to the occasion. So yeah, he's great, and he's great always, but like there's different personalities that like kind of, they just respond differently to the different circumstances.
I was scared we weren't going to get to talk about this, so I'm glad you segued into that nicely for me. Madison Bumgarner over the weekend on Sunday, a 7-inning no-hitter, officially not a no-hitter. Do you think that's a no-hitter? Like an official no-hitter, 7 innings.
I don't think it's an official no-hitter.
I go back and forth. He's had a couple of different outings where he got into the 8th inning with no hits. And so he's been there before, but he's never been able to finish it. It's just a different kind of beast, right?
The sad part about it is that he didn't get the opportunity to go for the natural no-hitter. And I understand the circumstances. Like, the circumstances are, we're going to have so many doubleheaders because there's going to be postponements and we're in a crazy time right now. There's a lot of things that are being kind of ruined by the new rules as far as like, you know, the classic stats. This is why the stats are really weird. It's like even hitting with a runner on second base in extra innings is wild, like, because there's extra RBIs on board. But also maybe is there not extra RBIs on board because we're not going further innings? I don't know. It's weird to really classically argue the stats anymore, especially with seven-inning games. Like, the season's going to be, like, the stats aren't going to be the same because we're missing out on all these innings. And it's tough to really explain. But I think the tragedy is just the situation that, you know, the world is in, not necessarily, you know, that he didn't get to go for the full no-hitter. You know, it's just like we have to make sacrifices because of. And so did he win the game? Yeah. Do we give him – I don't know. It's – you're right. It's your thoughts. What do you think? Do you think it's a real no-hitter?
I go back and forth. It stinks that he doesn't get the chance. And so what are you going to do? You finish the game. You haven't allowed a hit. Yeah, let's mob each other on the mound. Like, that was – what else can he do? At the same time, those two innings, there's a lot that can happen in those two innings. And so as an official no-hitter – I don't know. I go back and forth. So, but I do know, before we get to Ask Hunter, you wanted to talk about the A's. You're pumped up about the A's. And so I want to make sure the winning streak, they were one of your teams before the season. What are your thoughts about the A's?
I'm really impressed. Like, honestly, I haven't gotten to watch any of their games. I just look at the stats. To have that fluctuation, something amazing is happening. Like, I love the leadership. I hope that there's more stories that come out from what they're doing and, like, these teams, because they're just – and they know they haven't had the success in the postseason yet, but it's still so cool to watch. They're never expected to be anything, and they always come through, and they're really, really good. And when they do have their down year, they turn it around so quick. You were worried about them losing quite a few big pieces, you know, losing Simeon, losing Hendricks. Like, these are crazy good players and probably pretty big leaders in the clubhouse. And they had a great spring. So you're like, okay, yeah, they're going to be good. They lose six straight. This is just absolutely absurd. And then to win 13 in a row at any level, especially the highest level, it is so exciting for baseball. And by the way, I just think it's amazing, and I think we need to stay following. This is just 15% into the season. Like, maybe they catch another one of those streaks, but they got cut off by one of those pitchers who's doing some special stuff. When you talk about, like, these low ERAs, they lose their win streak against Means.
John Means, man. He might be the most underrated pitcher in baseball. I didn't give him enough credit. You know, he finished second in the Rookie of the Year voting a couple years ago. And then he has like, a weird year last year where it's a shortened season. He's got the great strikeout-to-walk ratio, but he allows a ton of home runs. And so you kind of go, oh, okay, that's just a guy having a career, whatever. He's pretty good. He's pretty dang good.
I mean, I don't know what he changed, but I know when I met him, he's a lot bigger than you think. I got to face him, and I got to face him when I was extremely hot. I was extremely healthy, and I would say probably the best hitter that I ever was in my career when I was with the Rangers. And he was a lefty, which I really punished lefties. I was prepared for lefties. Didn't really know who this guy was. Knew he was having a good year. Knew he had a good changeup. But this guy has feel. His fastball gets on you. It plays way up. And the changeup, it is really tough to figure out. I would actually put his feel like a notch below Johnny Cueto. But it just felt like whatever I was looking for means through the other one. And I was like switching it through the at bat. Like, all right, changeup. Fastball, boom, first pitch. Like, what? No way he threw me a first pitch fastball. Like, changeup, fastball. Oh, man, there's two fastballs. Every single time I switched, he switched. It was crazy. So he's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, I never gave him enough credit. You know, it's I'm not watching a ton of Orioles games for, I think, obvious reasons. But he's probably one of those pitchers that has a claim to the most underrated in baseball. He's been good for a while now.
Here's the thing is, he's a guy you want if the Orioles are in town. Go watch, and he's pitching, go watch him pitch. And, like, he has, like, some giddy up. I think he got a little extra spin rate, and he's got, like, angle, and he's getting some carry, so that makes the changeup play so much better. So, like, left-handed pitchers out there, if the Orioles come into your town, go watch what he's doing, because he's dicing, he's Picasso-ing the corners, and he's changing speeds, times, or even if it's on TV and you get a chance, check out him, check out Means. This dude's doing some really cool stuff.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. You don't get that many opportunities to upgrade your organization through a terrific hire. LinkedIn Jobs helps you to nail those chances. We've all searched for a job at some point in our lives, and chances are, if you're like me, you've used LinkedIn as a resource to network and follow the trends in your industry. You've spent a lot of time on LinkedIn, so why wouldn't you make that the place to post your job? LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to a perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make that process easier. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. 2.5 million small businesses use LinkedIn for hiring. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/MLB show. That's linkedin.com/MLB show to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
All right, we're going to transition to Ask Hunter, where we've got people on social media asking you questions. And the first one's from Ryan Scott, and he asks what your favorite karaoke song is. And I guess that starts with a question of, do you even do karaoke?
Man, that is a great question. I do karaoke, not much, like very reluctantly. I can give you a karaoke story. I one time, like in AA, we had to like on the bus, like sing karaoke, and like you had to do a song. And so I was like, all right, it was like the first time I think I'd ever done it. I'd never done it as a kid. I got on the mic or whatever and started singing. And the pitching coach, who was like wanting to razz you and wanting you to look bad, that was part of it, took the mic from me and he was like, no, no, you're good, man. Go sit down.
Just, you got benched. You got benched in karaoke.
I got benched. Yeah, it's really bad. But I didn't choose the correct song. As I got older, I learned to stay in my lane. You know, like something like I wear my sunglasses at night, something 80s, something you don't have to sing good, something simple. I don't ever get the words right. That's my problem. So I need to be reading the words. And on the bus, there was nothing. Like I just put headphones on and was trying to sing with the song, but I don't know the words.
All right. Jake Dacey, he asked on Twitter at JamazingJake, what's something new you tried out, a hobby, a food, a routine during this pandemic year that you might not have normally tried? Just something different.
Dungeons and Dragons. I had more time to play Dungeons and Dragons, and I always wanted to play it.
Yeah, no, you know, when I was a kid, I had much older siblings, and I remember having one, like, magazine with, like, all these Warhammer figures, and, like, I would just look through it. That's as close as I got to D&D, because I didn't have anyone to play it with. So I would just sit there and go, oh, I bet this is pretty cool. So you've been playing it, and it's been pretty cool?
What I like about Dungeons & Dragons is it's more about just hanging out with your friends. It's like spending quality time together. It's using your imagination. I think the cool thing, like the great skill that you get from Dungeons & Dragons is storytelling and acting. So if you're like into acting, which I'm not the greatest actor, or it's like kind of like this role playing and you're playing this character. So if you're into that sort of thing, it's great. I enjoy it because it's just quality time with my, you know, wife and friends. And I do enjoy the story, though. It's pretty fun to just follow along the story and make decisions.
Yeah, you're talking to the president of the drama club, 1994 Burlingame High School, so.
You'd probably be fun to play with. We have one guy who's actually super amazing at like following the character. He wrote this whole story of this one. I can't even like begin to tell you like how dramatic and amazing this character was, and like she died, so it's been very sad, but it happens.
Oh, all right. Jeff Delaney, at Delaney Jeff. What's your favorite movie? That's a classic one. What's Hunter Pence's favorite movie?
You know what? It's one you're not going to expect, but I really loved watching this movie whenever like I was down or like, you know, tough times in the season or whatever. And it always just kind of inspired me and brought me back up was Cinderella Man.
Ooh, okay. That's a good one. Russell Crowe. So it's got like that nice three act structure where he's coming through and fighting adversity.
He's at the top. He falls down, gets really low, is a good guy, good to his wife. And then, you know, something happens and it gives him another chance and he makes it happen. And it just like, you know, he's fighting for his kids and his wife. And I just love stories where like, about like good people, you know, doing the right thing.
That's a solid choice. That's a solid choice. All right, but we've got one more, and I like this one. This is from Stephanie. I mean, it's at STUFGE, and she asks, if you stack one lasagna on top of another, is it two lasagnas or is it one lasagna?
If you stack one lasagna on top of another one lasagna, is it now two lasagna? I think it's still one lasagna. It's just one stacked lasagna. It's a stacked lasagna.
I think so. Because you can make a lasagna with 100 layers. If you throw a glass of water into the ocean, you don't get two oceans. You get one ocean with an extra glass of water.
Whoa.
Did I just blow your mind?
That's a good point. Yeah. The one is the all is the one. Oh. We're all just energy.
We're all just a part of the same, you know, universe. All right.
Ocean of energy, of life.
Oh, man. That was a good way to end it. This has been Baseball Barista. You want predictions, don't you?
No, I want to talk about home run derby.
Gosh. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
What?
I blew it.
I thought I gave you the best segue ever when I was like, yeah, you know, the extra inning rules and...
I blew it. Okay, yeah, we do have to talk about this. Before we go, the Pioneer League, which as of last year was affiliated. It was an affiliated league. It was a rookie league in Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball did all the weirdness with minor league classifications. And so now the Pioneer League is an independent league, but they're an MLB partner league. So they are... It's weird. But... they are trying, instead of extra innings, they don't want to do wear and tear on their pitchers. They want to get off the field. So, tied at the end of a game, home run derby. Home run derby.
This is, like, actually going to be so fun to watch. And, like, as a purist, as a baseball purist, absolutely should not do this. But, as a fan... hell yeah. It's like hockey. Like, I'm so glad that they don't have ties and that they did the shootouts. Like, I love watching the shootout. And we would all talk about this, like how exhausted we would be. Why can't we just do a home run derby? Just send one person. Like, I'm at peace with it. And I mean, as a fan, you get five pitches. Like I got to read this. To avoid excessive strain on our pitching staffs, the Pioneer Baseball League will not have extra innings, but rather will employ a first of its kind knockout rule that resolves tied games with a head-to-head sudden death home run duel. This is so cool. Under the rule, each team designates one hitter who receives five pitches with the game determined by the most home runs hit. If still tied after the first knockout round, another hitter is selected for a sudden death home run faceoff until a winner is declared. Now, I have to say, if this ever got to the major leagues, which it probably won't, but let's just dream, okay? You're now going to need a really good home run derby pitcher because he only gets five pitches. There's no taking, right? Like, you can't miss this pitch. That's a lot of pressure on a BP pitcher. Like, the whole game is decided on you making sure to hit these spots. And then you also need a home run derby hitter. So now there's new value for some of these hitters as well, like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. This dude has got extra value because it's like, this is my champion. You know, I think of like Troy. It's like, we're going to not battle all these armies and lose all these lives. Just your best warrior versus our best warrior, and we'll make peace.
All of a sudden, like, Darren Ruff's an MVP. It's like, all right, get out there, Darren. You know, you're the biggest guy on the team.
Extra value, man. Like, this dude crushes it in home run derby. You're going to want to put him up there. He's, you know, I think it's great.
To that first point, and I promise I will go somewhere with this story, but in one of the softball leagues that I coach, it is you have the kids pitching, right? And so they're about 8 years old, 8, 9 years old. And if they throw four balls, the coach comes in to finish off the at-bat. The wrinkle is that if they throw two strikes and three and four balls, the coach comes in and gets one pitch. And if he hits, and it's the coach of the player who's batting, right? So you come in to pitch to your hitter. And if you, like, throw one over their head or you hit them, they strike out. That's it. They go back to the dugout. And so the pressure on me, who is a mechanical idiot, to come out there and throw one strike is overwhelming. So now I'm thinking about like a bullpen coach or whoever's out there. You know, everything's on you all of a sudden. You're not even in the major leagues. You're not collecting a nine-figure salary. I don't care. Throw strikes. Throw strikes.
Even the Home Run Derby, like, obviously they have like wiggle room and there's now a time limit and whatnot, but before it was just like 10 outs or whatever. Your pitcher, your BP pitcher, like, feels stress, and they put a lot of work into being good at BP. Like, even just regular batting practice, these guys are like, how was my rhythm today? How was my time? There's a timing to it, especially with like big league hitters, because they're working on so much stuff. Like, getting a good BP pitcher is hard to find. Like, there's lots of great ones, but it's an art. And so, yeah, like, you felt the pressure. Imagine the whole game being on it. Like, these BP pitchers are going to be, it's going to be fun.
I just feel bad. You know, it's at the Pioneer League, which is several levels below the majors. It's probably going to be all before we see it in the major leagues. We're probably not going to see it in the major leagues anytime soon.
We're never going to see it in the major leagues, but we can dream and we can talk and we can laugh.
It makes me nervous. Like, I'm nervous for the bullpen coach and he doesn't even exist yet. You know, it's like, it freaks me out. All right. We've got real quick, just some predictions. I've got the schedule pulled up. We have a couple different series going on this weekend. We have Giants at the Padres. You have the Mets at the Phillies. You have the Braves at the Blue Jays. That's an interesting interleague play. You've got Astros at the Rays. You have Indians at the White Sox. Dodgers at the Brewers. Angels at the Mariners. You got anything that you're looking for in one of these series?
All right. A couple of the teams that I'm very interested in is, like, the Mariners. They're playing pretty good. I want to see if they're for real. I'm interested to watch the Mariners. The Giants, Padres, because, you know, you wouldn't even realize it, but the Giants are, you know, they're at the top of that division right now. And they're, you know, we're going to stay quiet. Like, they're not moving up the power rankings. No one's saying anything about them, but they got some pitching. Descalfani, Disco Inferno, you know, they got Sanchez pumping. They got some arms and they're hitting. So, like, Giants Padres is very enticing to me, and the Giants beat them in San Diego earlier this year, so that's going to be a fun series. I want to see about these Mariners, the Mariners Angels especially, because both of them kind of had good starts, and I want to know, you know, what's cooking over there. I'm still following my White Sox. I was expecting them to be great this year, so all those series, those are the teams I'm going to be watching, rooting for. I want to know who's for real, and so we're 15% in. I don't think we know who's for real. I think there's a lot to be determined.
I think you're absolutely right. Good stuff. This has been episode 5 of the Baseball Barista. I had a lot of fun talking to you. And so we'll be back next week. We will know what happened in all those series. We'll have more to talk about. Maybe some more goofy rule changes. I don't know. I'm still like spinning off to thinking of a bullpen coach deciding the World Series or something.
I could just imagine there's like 2 outs in the ninth and it's a tie game and the bullpen coach is like trying to warm up and make sure he's ready for his 5 pitches. Like, so stressed. All right. Thanks a lot, Grant.
All right. We will be back next week. Thanks for listening to the Athletic Baseball Show.
I love coffee!